For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
And mind would be open today to receive from you, from your spirit, the impartation of knowledge and wisdom, Lord, that we, in turning to the Word of God, would be filled with understanding and be turned so totally to the right source, which is you. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today we're talking about obtaining godly wisdom, and what we're really talking about is in two things, is both trying to or obtaining the wisdom, but then also we're talking about attaining the wisdom of God, that is to say, to possess the wisdom of God, to walk as a wise man. So let's begin by looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start from verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." That's telling us that in Christianity, the people in this world who are mighty and who are of understanding after the manner of the world, wise men after the flesh, they don't tend to be the ones that are seeking God or coming into the kingdom of God. Verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Now, in that part of the passage, we can see very importantly that you might not be an educated person, or you might not be a person that in the worldly sense is of very great reputation in any way of measure. But this is talking about God's ability to be able to raise up people, to be able to come against the worldly orders of things, and to be able to raise up a mighty witness against the world, because there are people who, if they turn to God, can get wisdom from God. And you know, there's people in the world that are seeking wisdom and knowledge, and they're seeking education, and they're seeking how to get ahead in life and all these kind of things. But there is a way to be able to obtain the wisdom of God. So the problem that we see among people is if they're just trying to get wisdom, then that isn't the right way, because we're talking about a faith way, not only of being able to receive wisdom, but then also to be a wise man. And that means spiritually wise. So this is in two ways, and there's a comparison that you can make to the area of health and healing. Are we a person that is trying to get the healing, or are we a person that's walking in the health of God? Are we a person in the area of prosperity that's trying to get, or I need a prosperous thing to happen in my life, I need a debt paid, or I need to pay a bill, or I need a need met, or is it that we're walking in the prosperity of God and we're going ahead? So there are people, of course, and Christians, we come up where we do need to receive a healing, or we need to receive some intervention in some way from God, and we certainly need to receive wisdom of God in a specific way from time to time. But there is something in Christianity about walking in the wisdom of God. That means that we identify ourselves, and it's not just self-proclamation, but we identify ourselves as being a wise man because God has done that. We have received wisdom from him and we're walking in that, and so then we are a wise person. So we can be that. We don't have to be thinking like, oh, I'm not educated, therefore I'm not a wise man. You see, the world has its wise men, but its worldly wisdom is so disconnected to the wisdom of God that it doesn't matter if the world thinks you're a foolish person, or, you know, it's foolish to waste your time going to church, it's foolish to, why would you bother praying, and, you know, God doesn't even exist. This is the foolish wisdom of the world. It's not actually wisdom, it's foolishness. They think they're smart, but it's not in any way wise. What is wise is for a person who makes the choice to receive wisdom from God, firstly, and secondly, to be walking in the wisdom of God in such a way as wisdom is now in them and they are a wise person, to be doing things of God and going to the right places, doing the right things, saying the right things, living the right life, and so on, because that's what the Lord leads to by us being wise people. That's what he's leading us into. So verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, it's not because someone came along and said, well, I'm a really smart person and I really figured out Christianity and I just came to understand that Christianity was the best choice through my, you know, being able to work that out and I'm doing these things for God. No, it's all about people who are being able to defer to God, who God is able to use as vessels to his honour, based on his enablement and his ability that he gives to different people. And it's people who tap into that. And even if you've got good talents, if you tap into God, it's going to be so much the better and so much more. In verse 30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. So this is saying, as a godly Christian person, you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. So Jesus is made unto us from God. In other words, this is our identity as a Christian. And number one in the list is Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And of course, in Christianity, born-again Christianity, we've heard a lot about Christ is our righteousness. And we've heard, to a less degree, but still there's a fair bit of teaching about holiness doctrine. You know, we are to walk in holiness. That's sanctification. And, of course, redemption. In other words, Christ is the one who's paid for us and we've got born again. So all of these doctrines are quite well developed. But there's not so much developed about the first thing in the list, which is Christ is our wisdom. In other words, as a Christian, we can actually be wise. And instead, people have had other contrary doctrines like, oh, no one can have a monopoly on God's, you know, knowledge. No one can be able to interpret the Bible properly. It was written so long ago and there's such a disconnect of time and culture and, you know, etc. They've got so many doctrines about how we can't know properly, how we can't walk in it. There's sayings that they have, ungodly sayings, which I've heard Christian people say, like, we've all got feet of clay. These are all ungodly sayings because they're contradicting this idea that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. In other words, we should be able to know. We shouldn't be like perplexed in, like, oh, I don't know what to do, or I'm going to go and do the wrong thing, or I'm just prone to sin, or anything like that. But Christ, he is wisdom to us. In other words, we know what to do. We know how to do it because we're receiving from God knowledge. Because that's what happens when you're born again. You're changed on the inside. And, of course, Christ is in you. And in this way, Christ is in us. Is not just the power of being right before God, the power of being sanctified or separate from sin, holy before God, the power of being redeemed or purchased from sin, from going to hell. But also that Christ is wisdom for us. So we know what to do. We know how to behave, where to go, so we can begin to walk in the calling that he has for us This is very important. How else then are we going to be even able to exercise the offices in the church or spiritual gifts? Because wisdom is a very important thing about how to do something. You won't even know about what are doctrines, like understanding doctrines, if you need wisdom to know, and that's a spiritual understanding about what a doctrine is and what it means and how it applies. So we do need wisdom as Christians, and we want to know what is right doctrine. There's many different Protestant churches around the place, and even just in the Pentecostal category, many different kinds of people saying they're a Pentecostal with all kinds of doctrines. And some of them, those things that they're holding to of some people, are actually heresy things. They're not even right. We want to be people of wisdom to the point of knowing right doctrine, knowing what is true, what is right, because we're saying, well, God obviously wants us to have wisdom. And then now, how are we going to connect to that? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly the two things about connecting to the wisdom of God. And I'll tell you right now what they are, which is read your Bible and pray every day. Reading your Bible and believing and praying in your prayer. There's actually a little song that they used to sing, read your Bible and pray every day. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that there are spiritual gifts. And the first spiritual gift is not prophecy in the list. Oh yes, prophecy is a wonderful spiritual gift. But the first spiritual gift in the list, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and looking at verse 7, says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, so manifestation of the Spirit means the Holy Ghost exists. You say, well, I can't see the Holy Ghost, he's invisible to me. But the manifestation of the Spirit, in other words, how is the Holy Ghost making himself known, and how do people see or perceive his working? Well, if you came to church and there's believers together, and believers can have gifts, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Talking about spiritual gifts. So there is a work of the Spirit, and his working is going to be something that's going to profit you. All right, that's pretty good. So the Holy Ghost wants us all to be profited in different ways, and we're going to be able to help one another, because some people are going to have a different spiritual gift to other people. If we have those gifts in operation, that's going to help the other people that don't have that specific gift, but you've got it and you use it to help them. Verse 8, first spiritual gift in the list. For to one is given by the Spirit, so the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. So do you think wisdom's pretty high on the Holy Ghost's operation list? Clearly it is. It's the first in the list. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and on it goes. So we see that there's gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom is a gift of the Spirit as well. Now, the gift of wisdom is not the same as having wisdom. So let's make that clear now. Christians should be having wisdom in the sense that we've received Jesus Christ, we're born again Christians. We need specific wisdom, like what do I do here, should I go there, to get particular understanding about things. We will see from Scripture that you can pray and receive wisdom from God in those areas. But also, and importantly, we should be walking as the wise. We should identify ourselves as the wise. And here we see there's a spiritual gift. So there's a particular time when someone can have a supernatural enablement to have something that they can speak out. Because how does the word of wisdom manifest? It obviously manifests by someone speaking something, because it's called word. So it's a specific spoken message or set of words that is given from one person to another or to a group of people. That's a spiritual gift there. It's a Holy Ghost gift, and it's the word of wisdom. So in that package of words that is spoken by that one person at a particular time, here or there, at a congregational church meeting would be the main setting for this, but it could be as two or three believers gathered together somewhere. It could happen on a one-on-one basis. But as one person from the Spirit now, it's like a streaming download from the Spirit, not from their own brain, like, oh, I've really figured something out here. I'm going to go and tell that person something that I've really... This is talking about something that's just come in from the Spirit of God. And yes, you might know it beforehand, be able to speak it to them. But it's a package of information that's from the Holy Ghost directly. And it's something that, like, oh, I understand something. As people hear that, it's from the Holy Ghost speaking. So here we've seen that already, that we can pray for wisdom from God, that we should be walking as wise people. If you read your Bible and pray every day, that's going to be like keeping you in the wisdom of God. And there's a spiritual gift of wisdom. So we're going to look at some verses that show all of these things that I've just said. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. So there's going from being unwise, i.e. a fool or simple. There's different categories. A fool means someone that's basically a hater of wisdom. You can be an atheist fool, for example. Or simple, meaning you're just a young person and you're growing up in the Lord. You're coming from simple to wise. So there's a development. Okay, so there's development of getting to understanding the things of God. So that's one area, which is going from not having wisdom to having wisdom. And the second area is walking in continuous wisdom, or being wise. And by being wise, you will be able to, as things happen or as you speak, speaking and teaching and understanding and communicating, you'll be having a level of this wise knowledge, which basically is practical spiritual knowledge, like how does spiritual mechanics work? How do spiritual laws operate? How do you put into place things? How do you sow and reap? All of these kind of things. They're all related to wisdom. Like, what's really going on as far as how does the Spirit work to do things? You'll need wisdom to understand those things. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 1, and starting from verse 2, it says, to know wisdom. To know wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So this is meaning you're going from simple to wise. This is the process. How are you going to do that? Verse 5. A wise man will hear. This word hear does not merely mean auditory stimulation. It doesn't really mean just, oh, sound waves came across the room and hit my eardrum and I heard sound. The word hear in the Bible, and in this particular location in the Bible, it's talking about in the man hearing, your soul hearing, your inner man receiving. And what are you hearing? You're hearing from God by reading your Bible, hearing the Bible being read out, and you're hearing in the sense of the Holy Ghost is speaking. You're hearing the Holy Ghost speak. Not like, oh, I hear a voice in the air, or the sound of a trumpet and a thunder. And you could hear that. But it's talking about hearing with your inner man, perceiving by hearing what is God saying? What is he directing? What is he showing how to put into place things? So verse 5, a wise man will hear. Notice a wise man, that's a state you can be in. You can believe that you are a wise person, even though you're growing in wisdom. You might not actually be there yet, but believe it. A wise man, what's the word will mean? It means choice, will. So this is the big issue. Wisdom is available. In fact, wisdom is yelling out, screaming out. It's shouting out. Wisdom is available. It's like saying, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to show you how to prosper in business. I'm going to show you how to, how to treat and do things in your family life, how to look after your house or whatever. Wisdom is broadcasting this out. It's all in the Bible. The Holy Ghost is all around speaking to believers. But what do you have to do? A wise man, the key condition to being wise is you have to make a choice to hear. I listen to God. Hear him. This is the biggest thing about the foolish people, is they've made a choice not to hear. You can be talking to atheists and give them the most erudite explanations based on Bible apologetics about why the Bible's true and God exists and all this stuff, and they will not receive what you're saying because they've got an a priori belief, presupposition, I will not accept that there's a God. I hate God. I don't want to believe he exists. That's an atheistic way of thinking. A wise man will hear. So a good Christian person should be saying, I want to know what God is saying, and you're ready. And God's not, it's not hard, and God is ready to put that into place. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Not just stay at one level, increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. This is something for us to believe. We can believe that God wants us to attain. So we shouldn't be saying, oh, I just don't know, I can't find out. But he wants us to attain unto wise counsels. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. In other words, to really understand Bible teachings. That's why, a lot of this theology stuff and that is so off the track. These are not wise people. They've got education, but it's all wrong. It's all based on belief. Their interpretation methods are all incorrect. They're trying to explain away what the Bible says. They're trying to say that God didn't mean when he said something, that's what he meant. We don't want to be like that. The wise people, verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You know, there's parts of the Bible in places where you need to apply yourself to understand what it's saying. But you know, for some people, and really for many people, when you don't understand something, it is hard for you. But when you do understand it, then it's quite easy. At one time, a new Christian may not understand about tithing. When they do understand it, that's a revelation. And later on in their Christian walk, they should be like, that's such a small thing, I understand. That's easy to understand about tithing. But yet, when you're at a simple stage, it may be a very big thing and you can't understand about it. This is all about increasing in learning and development. All about growth in wisdom. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord, or to have respect and honour towards God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So are you going to be a fool and say, oh, I'm not going to listen to that? No, we're going to be wise and heed the direction of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. Because Romans 12, 2 and 3 tells us, again, as Christians, we can attain to the level of understanding. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind by letting the word of God wash your mind. That's from, for example, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about that. Wash your mind with the word of God. Renew your mind. So the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. You need wisdom to be able to do this. The word prove, people use prove in either a legal or in arguing in philosophy. Oh, I'm going to prove something. That ye may prove. Or how do we prove? But by wisdom, godly wisdom. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, to know what God's will actually is. You can know the will of God. Do you want to know what God's good and acceptable and perfect will is? That means knowing what right doctrines are, knowing what he wants you to do, what specifically he wants you to do, what's his calling on your life, you know, what should you be giving here, or what should you be saying to that person, what's the will of God? You can know it. This is the wisdom of God that is available for us. Renew your mind, get in the Word of God, renew your mind, be heeding or hearing what the Spirit says. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't think, well, I'm a super spirit. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, you could be the lowest Christian. If you had faith, you could become wise. God wants every Christian to be wise. That is clearly his will. Let's look in James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. James 3. James 3:13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Can there be wise people in the church? Yes. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The signs, the works, the things should follow. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So wisdom is not going to be of evil. This wisdom, or that kind of wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom that is good is going to be with good works, meekness. The bad wisdom will be proud and wrong, devilish, sensual. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, obviously you can see that pride and foolishness are all with that. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, are you a simple person right now? Do you want to receive wisdom from God? Do you need wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. The wise thing is to ask God for wisdom. Believe that he gives to all men liberally. He's not holding back wisdom. You've got a measure of faith. Everyone's got a measure of faith. You can get the wisdom because you've got a measure of faith. He giveth to all men liberally. He's not holding back. He wants you to be super wise. And upbraideth not. He's not going to attack you or punish you for, oh, you dare ask for more. No, he's wanting to give to you. It says, and it shall be given him. And he tells us to ask in faith, without wavering. Verse 17 in James chapter 1. James 1:17 says, every good gift, wisdom is a good gift, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the good wisdom, the good understanding, this is from God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 5 to 7. Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 7. Proverbs 4, verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline, decline means to go down, from the words of my mouth. In other words, stay with the word. Read your Bible and pray every day. Verse 6, forsake her not, talking about wisdom as a thing to possess, so calling it a her. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Does that say, with all thy, you know, efforts, go get money and try and get rich and honour and fame? No, he says, emphasis on what you should be seeking after to get is wisdom. Now, that does not mean go now and enroll in online university somewhere and get a degree and whatever. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about put to place by going to the Word of God and seeking from the Spirit, get wisdom. Education and wisdom are two different things. Education can be good, but it can also be very bad, because it depends what you're being educated in. But wisdom, godly understanding, that's good. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about going to the school of the Spirit, going to Holy Ghost University. We're going to have our degree in wisdom, and you start from Wisdom 101 and you graduate up and you get your Holy Ghost degree in wisdom, and you say, I'm a wise man, I'm a professor of wisdom, I'm professing it by faith. I confess that I've got it, I'm living it out. It's a profession of my faith. I'm a professor of wisdom. And that's what the Holy Ghost wants us to be. He wants us to be of knowledge, of understanding. I know how things work. I've got an understanding, a working knowledge of Scripture. When something happens, well, I know what Bible verse to go to deal with that. I know how to do confession. I know how to, say, deal with a sickness. I know what to do in that situation. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. We'll finalise with just a few individual verses now. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew 10:16 says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus said to be wise as serpents. In other words, Jesus wants us to be wise in this world. Not with the wisdom of this world, but with his wisdom as we go into the world, i.e. with proper understanding, yet harmless as doves. I.e. we're not there to, you know, do evil and to hurt people or to make things for their destruction, but to do good. Also look at Luke chapter 16 verse 8, what Jesus said about, and this probably applies especially to finances and business and sort of how to run your house, run your life. Luke 16 verse 8. Jesus said, he's talking about the parable, so he says, And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, but then he says, For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So Jesus is saying, there's a wisdom out there that people are doing in business and things like that, and they've been wise, so-called, in that their operations in, you know, how to do investments and all this kind of stuff. But Jesus is not saying we shouldn't be wise in how to use the things of this world. We should be. We should be wise. Because Jesus actually says that in verse 9. He says, And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Meaning, get to know how to, you know, manage your finances and do things. Get to know how to run business better. If you want to do development in how to, you know, personal development stuff, do that kind of stuff. But we're not talking about just based on worldly wisdom. We're talking about get your knowledge up and have a spiritual understanding in a practical way about how to operate in life and do the right things. Let's look at 3 John and verse 2. Now, this is sort of a set of pillars of faith doctrine. 3 John verse 2. And 3 John verse 2, when you have a sermon about healing, you'll read this verse and you'll say, yes, God's will is for us to be in health. When we have a prosperity sermon, we'll say, yes, God's will is for us to be in prosperity. But let's look at this one. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things, so this is definitely God's desire, that thou mayest prosper, that's great, and be in health, that's really good. Even as thy soul prospereth. What's soul prosperity? Is wisdom. Do you know that health and prosperity of finances are contingent on having soul prosperity? Soul prosperity basically means practiced wisdom. It means that faith doctrine has three pillars to it. Yes, walk in prosperity, walk in health, But walk in the wisdom of God, walk in godly knowledge. How do we know this? Well, godly men have turned to the book of Ephesians, so let's do that. If you're a wise person today, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And let's look in the book of Ephesians. And this is the closing part of our prayer, where he says in the prayer that Paul prayed, in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints," he's talking to the Ephesian Christians, verse 16, this is what Paul did, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What was he praying? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know," etc. Now, that's something we can use as a confession. And you can get this prayer here from Ephesians. You can get the Bible and literally read it for yourself. Read it as a prayer yourself. And you can make it a personalized confession. And you can say, according to this verse here, I thank God, for example, verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, gives unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I," or we, "may know what is the hope of his calling," and so on. You keep reading it through. This is something very powerful, because it's saying that we receive exactly what the scripture says, a prayer for having knowledge, having understanding of doctrine, having an understanding of how to do things spiritually, how to operate in spiritual mechanics, the spiritual laws, having what Jesus is bringing to us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So let's close with prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you're not holding back from us wisdom. You're not holding us to be punished for asking you wisdom, but you want to give to us liberally. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that each one of our understandings are being developed, that we have a hearing ear as we make that choice to hear, and that our eyes do see and we do understand the proverb and the interpretation and the dark sayings of the wise. We do walk in attaining wise counsels, and we thank you for that, Lord, and we praise you that in doing this we are able to help in providing opportunities to give glory to you and doing godly works, extending your work on the earth by knowing what to do and how to do it. We thank you for that, Lord, and that you're blessing us, that wisdom is a way for getting into health and prosperity unlike any other way. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray now, Lord, by your Spirit, you would speak to us, and that we'd be receptive to you. In the name of Jesus.